Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look at this, and I want to preach to you on this thought for just a little while today. Be not deceived. Of course, the Bible goes on to say, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And boy, there's a lot of preaching that can be preached out of this verse. There's a lot of preaching that can be preached out of verse number one. Well, the Bible said this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And those that do fall, by the way, you know what the Bible says, if we're spiritual, we restore such a one. Amen. And I'm not going to go into that, but boy, there's a lot of preaching right there in verse number one. I want to look at this in verse number seven. Well, the Bible says, be not deceived. That word deceived means this. It means misled, led into error, beguiled, cheated, or deluded. In other words, it means to water down something. It means to be led in error, to be led the wrong direction. You got deceived a while ago into thinking we was going to sing that first song, I'll Fly Away. But the preacher misled you on that. Let me back up. The piano player misled the preacher on that. It sounds like Eve in the garden. This one made me do it and that one made me do it. But anyway, we was misled in that. The Bible says this, be not deceived. Don't be misled. It's what the Bible says. Just let me read you a verse out of Matthew chapter number 25 or chapter 24. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We're living in a society today where there is a lot of people that is being misled. There's a lot of people that is being deceived by this world today. There's a lot of people being deceived, and don't nobody get upset with me right here, but there's a lot of people being deceived today by so-called preachers and so-called churches. Now, I'll say this to you today. I'll say this about preachers because I am a preacher, so I can talk about them a little bit, but there's a lot of preachers today that will not preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Man, the only thing that they're going to do is preach glory all the time, and they're going to try to build you up all the time. And listen, we need to be built up every once in a while, but the truth of the matter is this, we're wicked, vile, deserving sinners that deserve to die and go to hell. And the truth of the matter is this, without the shed blood of Calvary, us repenting of our sins, us asking Christ to come into our heart and save us, that's exactly what will happen one day. You will die and go to a devil's hell. If a preacher will never preach against sin, if he'll never preach hell hot, and all he preaches is heaven sweet, you may never hear the truth about the whole counsel of the Word of God. He said there's going to be many false prophets that deceive many in that day. I thought about this. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to get a movement started in our day? It really is. It's really easy to get a movement started in our day. Why? Because people are so misled. They are so deceived today. I questioned, and everybody just stay with me. I questioned how the Antichrist would get somebody to follow him to the extent that he's going to, Brother Josh. I really did. But whenever COVID hit, and you just stay with me right here. I understand it was, a matter of fact, 2 years ago today, my daddy was in the hospital about to die with it. I understand it was a real disease. But you know what? In the prime of all of that, If somebody would have stood on the scene and said, I've got a train right over here that'll take you to a place you'll never have to worry about this again, there'd have been millions got on that train and rode it. Why? Because we're so deceived so many times. Now, I'm not downplaying COVID, you know that. But understand what I'm saying. Be not deceived. Paul, in here writing to Galatia, says, listen, you don't need to be deceived. And I want to give you two or three things that you don't need to be deceived about this morning. Number one, don't be deceived about sin. I'm just going to give you a simple topical thought this morning. Don't be deceived about sin. And I tell you something today, sin's still sin. If it was wrong in the 30s and 40s, it's wrong today. If it was wrong in the 1920s, it's wrong in the 2020s. If you'll help me preach this morning, we'll get done a whole lot quicker. It's still wrong today. The Bible says this, for I am the Lord of thy God, and I change not. God has not changed. You say, well, preacher, society's changed. You're right. But that don't mean God's changed. The word of God hadn't changed. What God says about sin hasn't changed. And don't be deceived about sin. What did the Bible say in the book of James? It said this in James chapter 1, verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know what the end result of sin is? Death. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this in Romans chapter number 10, brother Jacob. He said this, for the wages of sin is death. Let me tell you what sin's going to bring in your life and in my life. Sin ultimately brings death in our life. I thought about the great sin of David with Bathsheba. We all know that story, but I thought about that this morning while I was looking back over my outline, and I thought about all of those that ended up being a death in the result of his sin. Sin always, matter of fact, I think it was Lester Roloff that said this the first time. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Is that not the truth today? Is that not the truth today? I guarantee you, if we could all be honest with ourselves this morning, I'm not sure every person here, but I'm sure there's a lot here that would say, boy, we've done some things that we said we'd have never done. And the reason we done them was because of sin today. It all starts just a little bit. It all starts just, you know what? Somebody will tell a little white lie. They ain't no little white lie. It's sin, sin. But they'll tell a little white lie, and before you know it, they tell another little white lie. And before you know it, they tell another little white lie. And before you know it, they're just an habitual sinner because they just lie all the time. They lie so much that they believe their, anybody ever met anybody like that? They believe their own lies. They're so good at lying, they believe their own lies. You mean tell you where it all started at? It started with a little bit of sin. If we could take time today and we could go to the different places in our county that's dry out houses and we could talk to somebody in there. You know what? If we could take time today and we could find a drunk on the street that's homeless and walk up to him and say, hey, man, when you was a little boy and somebody asked you what you was going to be when you grew up, did you say, I'm going to be an alcoholic, homeless, living on the streets and not having anything to my name? I guarantee you he'd say, no, I said I was going to be this, or I said I was going to be that. But what happened in his life? Sin began to creep in his life. And before he knew it, sin overtook his life. Don't be deceived about sin this morning, church. Don't be deceived about sin. What did the Bible say? The Bible says this, that we make no provision for the flesh. We make no provision for the flesh. Let me tell you the reason why. Because our flesh will drive us to sin. You say, preacher, what is sin? Sin's missing the mark. You say, preacher, what is sin? Well, the Bible said this about sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know you're supposed to do it and you don't do it, it's sin. If you know you're not supposed to do it and you do do it, it's sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Don't be deceived about sin. Boy, let me tell you the reason we're in the mess we're in today. We can take it all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3 because sin. And it all started with just a little bit. It all started with just a little bit. I guarantee you, if you could go find a harlot today, that's what the Bible called them, they called them a harlot. If you could go find a harlot today, and you ask that harlot, hey, when you was a little girl sitting in school, did you say, hey, when they ask you what it's going to be when you grew up, did you say, well, I'm going to grow up to sell my body out and allow my body to be sold out and be in the condition that you're in? I guarantee you they'd say, absolutely not. I said I was going to be a nurse, or I said I was going to be this, or I was going to be that, or I was going to marry Prince Charming. What happened? Sin today. Don't be deceived about it. Number two, don't be deceived about sin, but I would say this. Number two, don't be deceived about Satan. Don't be deceived about Satan. Hear me and hear me well. He's not your friend. He's not your friend today. I thought about this. What did the Bible say in verse number 8 of Galatians 6? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. Don't you be deceived about Satan. That's what he's doing in your life. Someone's going to get upset with me right here, but it'll be all right. I get tired sometimes of people saying, and you hear this all the time, pray for me, the devil is on my back. Every other service, the devil's on my, quit giving him a piggyback ride. Are you, quit giving him, you say, preacher, what do you mean? You know what I do? I tell them go to hell and leave me alone. That's exactly right. That's where he come from. That's where he's going back to. And that's exactly what I'll never forget. I was riding up the road one night, and boy, Satan was all over me, brother Randy, and he was telling me it wasn't worth nothing. I rode up the road a little while, and I finally stopped, and I pulled over on the side of the road. I got out of my car. I walked to the passenger door. I opened the door, and I said, get out, buddy. I'm and the payments on this car. I'm paying the insurance. You're not welcome to ride in my car. I'm telling you, Satan will get in the vehicle with you. He'll get in your mind with you. And Satan will absolutely destroy you. Satan's tactic has not changed. When you, the very first words out of Satan's mouth. I was teaching this morning in Sunday school, and we started this morning on the altar. What the altar is. And of course we looked at Noah building that altar, the very first altar in the Bible. But then we went to the tabernacle, and whenever you entered the tabernacle, the very first thing that you go into, the very first thing that you hit whenever you go into that Old Testament tabernacle was the altar. That's what it was. It was the altar. And we was talking about that this morning, and that prayer that in that sacrifice is made on the altar. And I said this, I said, you got to go back to the law of first mention when studying the altar. It was Noah. And I'll just give you something right here. He come out of the worst storm in the history of the world, had absolutely nothing but the boat he had been riding on and his family. And the first thing he did was not build a house, he built an altar. Very first thing he done. Very first thing he done. But the law of first mention in Satan's words. When's the first time we hear Satan talk in the Bible? Genesis chapter number 3. What was the very first thing we heard Satan say? Yea, hath God said. The very first thing that Satan does is try to sow doubt in your mind to the Word of God. Did God really say that? Oh, God didn't really mean that. God didn't really mean that. When it comes to sin, I'm telling you, that's what Satan does today. It's all right as long as you do it in moderation. It's all right. How do you sin in moderation? Well, we might not need a building program time I get done this morning, but how do you sin in moderation? How do you sin in moderation? No, sin, sin. And what Satan does, be not deceived. The Bible said, be not deceived. Man, there's false prophets. It's leading people the wrong way. God didn't really mean that. God didn't really mean that. God didn't really mean it's good for man not to touch a woman. God didn't really mean that. Come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God didn't really mean it. Yea, hath God said. He said, Eve has got, she'll make a better Eve than you. Eve, did God really mean that? Did God really mean that? You better not be deceived about Satan. Better not be deceived about Satan. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, then I'm moving on. And I'm going to get done. Well, I've said this before. If Satan was good enough, Brother Zeb, to cause thousands of angels in heaven to follow him out of heaven, you're no match for him. They was angelic beings created by God. They was living in heaven around the throne of God. And Brother Randy, Satan was good enough to draw those angels out of heaven. And that's where the demons of hell come from today. It's because they followed Satan out of heaven when God kicked him out of heaven. And if God done that, or if the devil was good enough to do that, you think about, there's not one person in here that started their life as good as Eve. None of you. Let me tell you the reason why. According to Psalms, you was shapen in iniquity. You was born a sinner. You was born with a sin nature. Eve wasn't. Adam wasn't. Adam and Eve was created in the very image of God. God himself breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. They walked with God himself in the cool of the day and had fellowship with God. None of us will ever be that good. And if God, or if Satan was good enough to cause Adam and Eve to mess up. I'm just giving you my heart this morning. He'll wreck your life. He'll wreck your marriage. He'll wreck your children. He'll have you hating me. He'll have me hating you. He'll have this church busted into a million pieces. I'm telling you, you just don't know. There's one or two in this room that knows the battle that I fought this week. And I'm telling you, it's nothing but the demons of hell and Satan himself trying to destroy God's doing in some ministry things and the way God's been working in some things. And I'm telling you, every time we start to do something with it, it seems like every demon out of hell comes against us. But you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I do not have to fall a prey to Satan. My ministry does not have to fall to the side. My home does not have to be busted in a million pieces. I don't have to watch my kids go down the wrong road. There is a God in heaven that can give us the victory over that. Don't be deceived about Satan. Don't be deceived about Satan. Well, preacher, it ain't going to hurt if I do this, or it ain't going to hurt if I do that. Or you better not. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived about sin. Don't be deceived about Satan. Watch this, number three. And I dealt with some of this with the men the other night in our split session. Don't be deceived about yourself. We make this statement. I know I say it all the time. I say it all the time. Hey, a good old boy. We say that all the time. They're a good old boy. Matter of fact, I was talking to your daddy. Whatever day we run that fire at down there on 268. And I said, oh, Caleb, boy, he's a good old boy. I like old Caleb. But the truth of the matter is this. You're not. I don't want you to be deceived this morning, man. You're not. Bible says this, Brother Jacob, there's none good. Brother Remington, no, not one. There's not one of us sitting in this building that's good this morning. You know, a lot of times we think, well, boy, I done this. I done that. I done this. Come on. I done that. Boy, you know, I put this much in. I done this for the church. I done that for the church. Look. That ain't what's getting us to heaven. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. That's the word of God. I'm not going to be that false prophet that deceives you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Me standing in this pulpit preaching the word of God is not going to get me to heaven. Me praying and reading my Bible daily is not. I'm going to heaven because I put my faith in Jesus. Don't be deceived about ourselves. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Him that thinketh he standeth. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I have to keep myself in check so I don't become a castaway. Don't be deceived about yourself this morning. Preacher, I'm doing good right now. And you know what? I think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm not working to get to heaven. I'm working because I'm going to heaven. Somebody give me an amen right there. Don't be deceived about yourself. Let me give you this last one and I'll be done. Number four this morning. Don't be deceived about the Savior. Don't be deceived about the Savior this morning. Satan had one agenda, and that was to overthrow the throne of God. That was Satan's whole agenda. And since he couldn't do that, his agenda now is to promote immorality and to cause division and cause us to be deceived. Don't be deceived about the Savior this morning. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? There's one. I didn't say don't be deceived about the Saviors. I said don't be deceived about the Savior. He said this in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, don't be deceived about this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way to heaven this morning, and it's Jesus. Don't you be deceived about that. So, preacher, I'm doing some good works right now. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not, Ephesians 2:8-9. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What is the gift of God? John 3. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? That Old Testament tabernacle, that altar, the fire was to never go out. It was the sacrifice that was being placed on there daily for the sins of the people. And that fire never went out. The stench of that, well, to God, it was a sweet smelling savor. But to man, the stench of that flesh burning and that blood, it was always there. Oh, but hear me and hear me well. It all pointed to a man by the name of Jesus that was going to come by the way of a virgin by the name of Mary in the New Testament. And the Bible said this, that he would save his people from their sin. And you know what happened? The Bible proved itself true. And one lowly night in a manger in Bethlehem, there was a little baby by the name of Jesus that was born. That was not his beginning. His beginning was back when there was no beginning, because he always has been, because he's equal to God. That was the beginning of his earthly ministry. That was the beginning of him paying sin's debt. That sacrifice had to be spotless. There could be nothing wrong with that sacrifice. And for 33 and a half years, Jesus walked the face of this earth. He never sinned the first time. He was never immoral the first time. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that come through the womb of a virgin virgin that conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. And one day he walked up lowly Golgotha's hill, and he lay his life down willingly. And he that knew no sin, he became sin. Why? So we could be made the righteousness of God through him. That gift is Jesus today. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you be deceived about the Savior today. It's not a preacher that's going to take you to heaven. It's not a church membership that's going to take you to heaven. It'll be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you make it to heaven, you'll go through him. He is the door. He is the way. He is the spotless Lamb of God. Don't be deceived about him today. What did Pilate say about him? Pilate said, I find no fault in him. What did the centurion say about him? He said, truly, this was the Son of God. What did that thief on the cross say about him? Here's what he said about him. He said, we indeed are getting what we deserve, but this man hath done nothing amiss. That was Jesus he was talking about. Oh, yeah, don't be deceived about the Savior. It's Jesus. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's Jesus today. There's no other name, if you don't care to come start playing softly, there's no other name more hated than the name of Jesus today. No other name. Pray in the name of God and you're fine. Pray in the name of Allah and you're fine. Pray to Mother Mary and you're fine. Pray to Joseph Smith and you're fine. Somebody help the preacher this morning. You can pray to anything you want to. You can talk about anything you want to in public today. But when you bring up the name of Jesus, there's no other name hated like the name of Jesus today. But greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is the dearest friend that anybody will ever have, is the man Jesus. He's the only man that ever died so we could live eternally. He's the only man that ever went to hell so we could experience heaven. He's the only man that's ever been beaten beyond recognition up for my sin so I didn't have to be. I ought to be in hell. You ought to be in hell today. We don't deserve what we have today, but it's all because of our Savior today. We don't deserve the clothes on our back. We don't deserve the vehicle we drive. We don't deserve the homes we live in. We don't deserve the health we enjoy. We don't deserve the jobs and the money in the bank. We don't deserve the padded pews and a new building. But the reason we have it today, it's not me, it's not you. It's all because of Jesus today. Don't be deceived about him. It's all because of Christ. Without him, we'd be in hell, or on our way to hell, if it hadn't been for Jesus. And we treat him the way we do sometimes, and yet he still loves us. Let me say that again. And we treat him the way that we do sometimes, and yet he still loves us. It's all in the name of Jesus today. I am what I am by the grace of God. We owe it all to him today. Don't be deceived about yourself. Don't be deceived about Satan. Don't be deceived about sin. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't you be deceived about the Savior. Let me tell you something. Hey, look here. I'm trying to get done. Well, it's just 12 o'clock. I still got 15 minutes. And I won't even burn no comp time if I go over that. Watch this. Let me tell you something today. Let me tell you something today. Jesus, think about this, loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. It's all in the name of Jesus today, church. No need to be deceived about that. He's the reason we're here. He's the reason we're breathing. He's the reason we have what we have. You know, I got what I got because I work hard. No, you got what you got because God allowed you to work hard to get what you got. You got what you got because God gave it to you. Don't be deceived about that. You're being deceived in yourself thinking. Somebody say amen, help me. You're being deceived in yourself thinking that you're the reason you have. No. Son, I'm telling you the reason I got what I got today. It's because of Him. It's because of Him. Yourself. I'll give you this in closing. Yourself will tell you today, listen to me, because of Satan, so Satan works through yourself, will tell you today that you don't need to get saved today, you need to wait till tomorrow. That's what I tell you. Yourself will never tell you not to get saved, just tell you to wait another day. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what tomorrow may bring. You ain't promised tomorrow. You ain't promised tomorrow. I was talking to Brother Zach back here yesterday, and he had to go to the hospital the other night and wasn't sure what was going on. And he told me, he said, "Breacher, we loaded that track coat." And he said, "I got up in the road tractor," and he said, "I thought something bit me." He said, "My neck was stinging." He thought something bit him. He said, "I reached back there and didn't find nothing, took his seatbelt off and didn't find nothing." He said, "I got out of that road tractor and told Luke," his son, said, "Come over here and look and see what bit me." He said, "Ain't nothing bit you, Daddy." He said, "Yeah, something's bit me." He said, "My neck's stinging." He said, "Oh, there ain't nothing bit you." He said, "I got back up in that road tractor and started up the road." And he said, "About halfway home," he said, "my arm started going numb." He said, "I started thinking in the back of my mind, oh, no. Oh, no." And you tell you something, boy, I'm thankful God helped him. And they don't think it's nothing major. But you know what? That could have been the last time he loaded that track up. He could have started up the road. They could have been something major going on. And God just saw fit. Maybe it's because some of the people in this church that morning said, "God, you know the people in our church today, God, would you please put a hedge about them and protect them and be with them?" Maybe it's because a preacher and a preacher's wife said, "God, you know the people in our church today, God, we need them. God, put a hedge about them." Somebody help the preacher right there. Maybe God detoured something major that was fixing to happen. The point is this, that could have been the last time. You know, instead of driving over there yesterday, pick up my little girl from their house that had spent the night. Me and Miss Leslie might have been driving over there and sit with Miss Debbie and try to comfort her because she just lost her husband. Well, it's the truth today. I'm telling you, it's the truth. But it's not thyself tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what we're going to be faced with tomorrow. We don't know that we're going to make it. I got plans this afternoon. I don't know I'm going to make it. I don't. I got plans to hunt in the next few weeks. Man, deer season's come back in. I've got more of an itch to hunt this year for some reason I ever have. My wife's over going, "Oh, God, help us." She's going to freeze all the accounts before service is done. We're on her phone right now. Make sure she don't get in the savings account, Caleb. But anyway, y'all just had to be in Sunday school on that one. We're not promised it. And Satan will tell yourself, you just wait to get saved. Just wait to give God everything. If you would just give Him everything. If you'd just submit to Him. Boy, oh boy. The joy that you would experience, the peace that passeth all understanding, the happiness, the joy of the Lord. You know what? In the storms, the reason Christians keep going, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I ask you this question. What's worth dying and going to hell? You cannot logically give me anything that's worth that. Because there's a Savior that loves you. So much that He gave His life. He died so you can live. There's a Savior that said, "Preacher, you don't know where I've been." Quit listening to self and Satan. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Paul hunted Christians down and killed them. said, I was the chief sinner is what he called himself. And if God saved him, I guarantee you there's no person in this room that's ever found somebody sitting in the church like we are right now that's enjoying going to the house of God and just walked up to them and blowed their brains out. That's what Paul did in his day. It was not that manner because of the custom of that day. But that's what Paul did. If you was caught worshiping Jesus, Paul was the one that killed you for that. Had you killed. Matter of fact, it's quite possible he sat on the Sanhedrin that had Christ killed. And you know what God done? Over in Acts chapter number 9, that great light shined out of heaven while Saul, that was his name before he got saved, Saul was on the road to Damascus. God said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, it's hard for me to kick against the pricks. You know what that was? It's a Holy Ghost working in his heart. You know what you need to quit doing is quit kicking against the pricks and understand there's a God that's waiting at this altar that'll change your life. If you thought your life was good, you fall in love with Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. You give everything to him and just see what happens.